The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, buddy, hour three of The Nation, the Eric Kendrick Show, coming up here in about 20 minutes. It's time now to chat with Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram Cowboys writer. And a good afternoon, Nick. How you doing?
Man, doing fantastic. How are you, fellas?
About the same. Yeah. Yeah. I'm starting to look forward to this Bengals game. Now, before we get to that, Zach Martin's retirement, have we seen the last of him?
You know, he strikes me as a guy who wants to go out on his own terms. And, you know, this would certainly be a situation where that would not be the case. Him having to battle this second ankle surgery, after what he's been battling all year. He just strikes me as a guy who would want to go out on his own terms. And he was able to restructure his contract this past offseason to almost give himself a player option going into 2025. He would have to make that decision by the fifth day of the league year next year, which I believe would be roughly around March 19th, March 20th. He just strikes me as a guy who would be back another year, but that's just me theorizing.
And how confident are you that he is a good enough player that the Cowboys should want him back?
I mean, it's only one season that we saw the decline, and sure, you have to take that into equation, but how much of that was also a factor of him playing banged up? I mean, he's been playing banged up since the very beginning. I think he's a guy you give the benefit of the doubt to, and you have somebody who's ready to go in his place in case he cannot get it done.
And then financially, with the salary cap implications and all that, how workable is it for the Cowboys? Is this going to be a Tyron Smith deal where they're like, nope, sorry, 10 mil is too much because we got to get the cap in order?
Yeah, I honestly couldn't give you a justifiable answer on that sense, but the restructured contract that they do have in place would have the decision in Zach Martin's hands at the end of the day going into 2025, but it would have cap implications all the way through 2028 with the void money that he's had and things of that nature.
How important is Brock Hoffman here and the impact of him? Do you think he's a guy that could play himself into a starting role if he finishes the season strong, assuming if Zach is retiring and doesn't come back?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know how bullish I've been on Brock Hoffman. I think he's a guy that just brings a nastiness. He brings an edge to that interior, and we were able to talk to him today in the locker room. Him being able to get seven straight games by the end of the season of work, you're going to see a lot of improvements in his game just by having reps, being consistent on the field. I'm excited to see what he can bring to that right guard position, because if this is the end for Zach Martin, I think Brock Hoffman would have to be your first look as a guy who could potentially replace him in the near future.
Has he played well enough that you'd consider a reshuffle if Zach Martin does come back to make room for Hoffman?
I mean, you would have to put it on the table. You have a guy there that, in his time this year, I believe it's over 160 snaps. He's only allowed one quarterback pressure, and neither of those came in the last two starts that he's had against these divisional opponents. Now, granted, it'll be a little bit more difficult of a challenge once he goes into some unfamiliar opponents, starting with Cincinnati this week. But that's a young defensive interior. He should have some success against them. But there's still some really tough opponents on the schedule. You got Philadelphia. And another matchup against Washington. So we'll be able to see what Brock Hoffman can bring, and I think he's certainly deserving of a full opportunity like this to be able to showcase what he's got.
Nick, are you interested at all in drafting a guy that could potentially play right guard?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as I've mentioned
and
here,
I'm talking like in the first round. I'm talking like, you know, Banks from Texas or Campbell from LSU, somebody like that.
Yeah. I'm all for fortifying these trenches. They got to get more physical in the interior, specifically. That's more so on the defensive line, but I think on the offensive line as well, you can make that case. And, you know, how much of that comes with experience, I think that's a question you would have to ask too, because it is a young offensive line at the end of the day. But if the right guy is sitting there, wherever you pick in the teens or whether it be in the early 20s, if this team decides to go on a run, I think you go and you make that pick. You gotta put as much on that offensive line as you can.
Nick, you had a great piece in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram for anybody who wants to go read it about the draft since 2014. And I think over the last, really this season, Brian and I, anytime we've brought it up, we've gotten more pushback that I've seen from Twitter and the fan text of the drafting here is overrated. Will McClay needs to get blamed for here, and that's probably recency bias because Mozzie Smith didn't really look like he's panned out. Scooney's finally turned the corner, but can you give us some of the meat and potatoes of that article that you dug in and found out about this Cowboys drafting since 2014?
I mean, you know how fans are, especially this fan base. It's what have you done for me lately? And I think it's a justifiable conversation to have, because what they have done for them lately hasn't really panned out in the first round just yet. I mean, you look at Mozzie Smith, you look at Tyler Guyton. These are two guys who are experiencing the lumps and bruises of playing as a young player. I think the Cowboys got really fortunate with a guy like Tyler Smith, because I think there were a lot of similar questions about if Tyler Smith was ready to jump in and start whenever he got his opportunity, but he excelled with it. And it really, it's unfair to expect the same out of guys like Mozzie Smith and Tyler Guyton. Now, on the same token, you look at Mozzie Smith, he has to be better. I think overall he has to be more consistent. He's got to put it together a little bit more. And then Tyler Guyton, he just needs reps. He needs experience. I mean, he's a guy who came into the year with only 14 starts playing offensive line in his entire football career. I mean, he's going to almost double that by the time his rookie season is done. So that's another guy that just really needs to pick up reps at the end of the day. But in that article, mainly it was just talking about Jerry Jones's confidence in both of those guys and how there is still confidence in this building when it comes to both of those guys, because I think there's some fan rhetoric around, hey, we need to go ahead and move on from Mozzie Smith. I don't think that's a possibility from this front office standpoint until at least after the third season. And that's what Jerry Jones had said on you guys' airwaves last week was, you know, we're not going to give up on a defensive lineman until after 3 years. So, you know, looking at a guy like Mozzie Smith, I think that's certainly someone to factor into that. But looking at the overall draft picture over the course of the last decade, you have to give credit to what Will McClay and his staff have done. I mean, look at that 2022 class in itself with guys like Tyler Smith, Deron Bland, Jake Ferguson. I mean, they've done such a great job developing these guys, drafting these guys, identifying them. They are the number one team in the NFL over the course of the last decade in drafting all pros at 16.1%. So, I mean, this is a really talented personnel group, and I think confidence should remain with those guys.
Nick Harris with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Nick, what did you make of the Dak comments about wanting McCarthy back on his own terms?
Yeah, I think it was certainly interesting because he could have taken that direction in a couple of ways. He could have taken the Michael Parsons route of just saying, you know, hey, that's above my pay grade. We'll leave that into the decisions of, you know, Jerry Jones and the decision makers. But he decided to put support back into McCarthy. And I think it is certainly interesting. And if you know, the decision has to be made with other inputs going into the offseason, you would have to think that Dak Prescott's going to be one of those inputs. Now, we have come to learn time and time again, and this is no discredit to Dak. I think this is actually what makes him a great teammate, but is that he's always going to say the right thing, you know, and he's not going to put anything out in the public that will make you, you know, question his relationship with anybody in the building. I think maybe he got a little snippy with Jerry at times in the contract negotiations, and there was maybe a word or two that he threw in that, you know, maybe he would want back, but all in all, he's going to be the politician at the end of the day. So I don't really see anything else he could have said in that situation, just knowing Dak Prescott and knowing, you know, typically his line of thinking. But at the end of the day, I would have to imagine his input is valued. I just don't know if the input that he actually puts forth, that he put forth last week, is going to be the same input that he puts forth in the offseason. Who knows? I think Dak Prescott's the only one that knows that.
Are you sensing a little bit of momentum building that Mike McCarthy could be returning next year?
I mean, it was something that was being kicked around even before they lost these two games. I mean, it was, you know, hey, this team has battled injuries. Has Mike McCarthy gotten a fair shot in 2024? And if the answer is no to that question, then they're going to have to look at the whole resume of over the course of the last five seasons. And what you're going to see is 3-12-5 seasons sandwiched right in between, you know, two injury-ridden campaigns. Now, the playoff success has not come with it. How much does that value into that same exact conversation? And then, also, on the same token, is there anyone else out there that you know, this front office feels like could be better and could help develop, you know, the highest paid quarterback in the league, the second highest paid receiver in the league. You're eventually going to have the highest paid defender in the league. You got to be able to put those guys in specific spots to help them succeed too. And whoever the head coach is in 2025 is going to be a big reason for that or a big part of that. And I think the front office understands that. And I think there's a point of consistency with Mike McCarthy and just keeping the same guy that I think could help his name if it were sitting there on the table next to names like Mike Vrabel or even a Bill Belichick or whoever it may be.
Let me throw another mic at you, Mike Zimmer. Are the players setting into the scheme better? Do you see him as sufficient or a good option at DC, or is he a bridge assistant here moving to the future?
I'll tell you what, man, early on in the season, you know, having conversations with guys on the defensive side of the ball, it didn't really feel like there was a lot of clarity on what exactly they were doing, all 11 guys. And, I mean, they were saying that in the public as well. You know, Micah Parsons and Jordan Lewis talking about details and guys not trying to try not to play hero ball and things of that nature. But the more you talk to those same exact guys that kind of had the issues early on in the season, you talk to those guys now, and they have a completely different mindset. It's, yeah, everyone's playing together. Everyone understands their assignment. I think it was just a really big change from what Dan Quinn had in his time here versus what Mike Zimmer brought in. And I honestly looked back to OTAs and minicamp and training camp and preseason, maybe being a time where instruction should have been taken a little bit more seriously by some people in the building. But you know, you can only, hindsight's only 20/20 in that sense. But when I look at Mike Zimmer's job that he has done over the course of the year, of the pieces that he has had, given the injuries that he's dealt with as well, I don't necessarily see him as a bridge assistant. You know, this is a building that still has a lot of respect for Mike Zimmer at the end of the day, and I think that's going to be valued when his name is on the table as well.
Is Cooper Rush inspiring any more confidence with you after these last two games and no turnovers?
I'll tell you what, man, I look back to 2022, and I think about what made Cooper Rush able to operate in his own system, and it was having a run game. And I think you saw the products of that against the Giants, him having a run game, him being able to, you know, balance the offense with a guy like Rico Dowdle, who ran for over 100 yards. If they can keep the run game up, I think it only helps Cooper Rush and this entire offense operate. He's not a guy that you have to put the ball into the hands of and ask him to go throw 35, 40 times a game. I don't have a lot of confidence in him being able to win you games like that. But if you put the ball in his hands 25, 30 times and you win the time of possession battle behind a run game, I think that's when he's most effective.
Nick, how many stops is this defense going to have to get this Monday night to win this game?
Oh, my goodness. I as we've said a couple of times this week on the break, Brian, I worry about if this offense can keep pace with this Cincinnati offense. Sure. It's such a good crew. I mean, a top three offense in the NFL, I think, hands down, but unfortunately they just don't have a defense to back them up. Stops wise, man, I feel like they'd have to get 5 or 6. I mean, I don't have a ton of confidence in this offense being able to put up a ton of points. I mean, you even look at the points they've scored in the last 2 weeks. Look at all the special teams and defensive touchdowns or the turnovers that help create short fields. You know, this offense still has some work to do to be able to inspire confidence from a scoring perspective. So, I would have to say 5 or 6.
I do want to pick your brain on the high school football that we got this week, and we already got a text from the 903 asking about that. But what about the new additions the Cowboys made at corner? That Josh Butler injury was a bummer, and if Diggs can't go, they're kind of running thin on bodies there.
Yeah, so they're working Amani Orawarie back into the equation. He had his practice window open yesterday. If fans remember, he was the one who filled in after the Giants game, the first Giants game, he filled in and then had a couple of games, but then got hurt against the 49ers, took a knee to the spine. But he was able to have his practice window open yesterday. It's going to be close as far as activating him back onto the 53-man roster before Monday. But if he can't go and Trayvon Diggs cannot go, then you're looking at possibly our Go Mean Green guy, Zach, and Keemon Hall.
Let's
but
go.
They did add two practice squad guys yesterday, and Dee Delaney and Troy Pride Jr. I think that's purely just to have bodies in case things get even worse at that position. But, it's certainly a musical chairs, and losing Josh Butler did not help.
All right, it's one of the best weekends for high school football. Big-time matchups, regional final, Allen, North Crowley. You got Denton Ryan and Aledo powerhouses, Carroll and Geyer, Longview, DeSoto. There's a ton to look in here, Nick, but what's got your eye?
Man, all of those. You look at North Crowley, Allen, I think that's a fun story just because Allen has finally started to rebound a little bit after a couple of years of mediocrity, and they're back in the regional finals going up against an absolute tank of a team in North Crowley. Man, are they built so well in the trenches. I mean, you look at the guys that they have on both sides of the line of scrimmage. It is really impressive. And then that's before you even factor in their Colorado commit at wide receiver and Quentin Gibson, who is a legitimate contender for Mr. Texas football this year. He's been absolutely incredible for them. And then their Gomeen Green commit at quarterback and Chris Jimerson.
Yes, sir.
He's been great as well. But some other games other than the ones you mentioned that I'm looking at, Lone Star Highland Park, that's always a fun one, especially in a regional final. Lovejoy and Argyle. Out in the country a little bit, Brock and Graham, Alvarado and Salina. This is such a great time for high school football. Regional final weekend, as you mentioned, it's one of the best. But only a couple more weeks, and then we'll be at AT&T Stadium crowning some state champions.
I love it, Nick. We'll see you out there. Oh, are you picking Bengals?
Yeah, I'm picking Bengals. I just don't feel like this offense can keep up with this Cowboys offense can keep up with the Cincinnati offense. But I expect points. I would take the over on this one, whatever it is.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks, y'all. Y'all have a great one.
There he goes, Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, here with you most weeks in the G-Bag Nation.